Welcome to Lesson 12, The Power of One. Wow, you've walked through the last 11 weeks and now the 12th week, and what you're doing is finding out more and more of how you can become one as a couple. And then the power that will come when you guys are one flesh.
This is an exciting lesson because Amen. It's talking about the future, about where you're going and what God has for you and your assignment. And so it's been fun meeting with you these last 12 sessions. We've been praying for you, and we know that God has done amazing things in your life. So this lesson is going to be kind of like the icing on the cake.
Oneness Part 1.
Well, this is the final session. One times one equals one flesh. You are one flesh, and abundance is going to come out of that. And this 12th lesson, the power of one, what you've learned this last 11 lessons, you know, will summarize and then propel you out into your future.
And you will get as much out of it as you put into it. You've learned some amazing principles. And if you utilize those, if you put them into practice in your marriage, you will begin to see great changes. If you just get your card punched and one more marriage thing, it's not going to help you very much. And so we encourage you to continue on. Instead of just doing it by video, you can actually join a group in a home and go through the lessons in a much greater depth than we have done them in the videos. Look at our website and see all kinds of updates and other exciting things that are happening. But keep feeding your relationship. Keep feeding your marriage. Don't just say, well, we learned all that and try to live on it, because it won't last. You've got to keep these principles alive. And when you notice that you're starting to fall down in an area, maybe you're not forgiving each other as quickly as you should, or maybe you're sowing some things that you shouldn't be sowing, catch that quickly now and say, wait a minute, we know how to do this, and this is not the way to do it. And quickly go back to implementing these principles in your life.
Feed your marriage by keeping the principles you've learned alive in your daily life.
We've given you a lot of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, the Word of God applied never, ever, ever fails. And the Spirit of God is going to help you apply the Word in this relationship as a husband and wife, your relationship as parents and grandparents, and then, by extension, your relationship to the world.
That's an important point, too, is because God has not put all of this into you just for you. He's given you all these wonderful principles to transform your marriage and your home, but not just so that you'll have a happy little marriage for the rest of your days. He's done it because he has a plan and a purpose for you, just like he did that first couple in the garden when he gave them an assignment. And he wants you to be a strong, powerful, healthy marriage to accomplish that goal.
We're going to reinforce that with John 15, verse 16. One little short verse, but it's what's been poured in you, your call of God to give to others, to give away, to proclaim. You've received much, give much.
And in this lesson, this session, we're going to show you how to do that. Because sometimes when people hear that, you think we're saying, well, you got to run out in the street and do something, and we're sitting there going like, well, what does that mean? So we're going to specifically show you what we're talking about when we say God has put much into you because he wants to pull much out of you.
You as a married couple, you're called to bear fruit in your relationship as a husband and wife, but then multiply it. It's that outreach, both to your children and grandchildren and to others in your church and others at your job and community. And you're called to multiply what you're working with and on, and you will be that bright, shining light.
And remember in Genesis, when God created the world, he said, He put seeds of reproducibility in each thing that he created. And that's what we are in our marriage. He has placed many wonderful seeds in us, and those are growing in our own lives. But they also produce seeds of reproducibility that we need to put out into others so that the same fruit can grow. It's not about us. It's about the power of God. It's his seeds. It's his word that will then grow in other lives. And he gives us many opportunities to do that, many clever ways of doing it. So it's not a case of being an evangelist on the street corner or passing out tracts. The world is waiting for what God has put in you, and he has wonderful, absolutely normal everyday ways to deliver that.
God has placed within you reproducible seed for sowing into others' lives.
Bear fruit, multiply. Bear fruit, multiply. Bear fruit here and multiply.
And in Isaiah 37:30, the Lord showed us through this scripture some interesting things about multiplying, bearing fruit and multiplying. This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that, but in the third year sow and reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. And what we discovered from this scripture was that there's three seasons in our life in everything we do. When we're first married, there's three seasons in our marriage. There's three seasons when we join a new group. There's three seasons when we get a new job. Whatever we begin, there's three seasons in that. And the first season, eat what grows by itself. That first season is so easy. You don't have to do anything. I remember when I was first born again, that scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, that was my life. It was like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The Lord's right there. He does everything. I just am amazed at his presence in my life. Look how things are changing.
It's very self-focused.
I mean, it
really is. It's the word, the life, the spirit, you know, just being poured out on you, and you as an individual or you as a couple.
It's a tender season, and God knows that. So he provides people that feed you during that season. It's a season where it just seems like you don't have to do much at all, and wonderful things happen. And then the second season comes.
What springs from that? In the second season, you have to be more purposeful for you to seek out the seed that'll feed you, seed, word, spirit, that'll feed you, cause you to grow. A little harder than the first season when everything's poured on you. Now you have to be purposeful and diligent to seek out answers.
In a marriage especially, it's like the first season's like the honeymoon, where, oh, you're just so in love and everything's wonderful and love is blind and you're having a great time. And then the second season comes and you discover that you have to really begin to understand each other and you have to begin to invest in this relationship. And it's not all wonderful times.
There's a few sparks.
There's challenges and sparks. And in scripture, it talks about people gleaning a field. And what they did when they gleaned the field was the harvesters came through and harvested, but there was still a lot of grain left in the field. And so they allowed people to come in then and glean the field to gather up the grain that was there. And so the second season is much like that. You don't have to go out and harvest a whole field, but you do have to go out and purposefully begin to feed yourself, begin to make changes in your life in order to enhance the relationship, the job, whatever you're in. And in this case, we're talking about marriage. So you begin to realize that there's some things that you didn't know about each other, some surprises, some things that caused to have adjustments.
Still a reactionary kind of time.
Yeah.
You know, and
adapting.
You know, adapting and, you know, many people are in survival mode even in that second season, and they, you know, sort of grasp at things, but they're purposeful, you know, reaching out and saying, hey, I need answers. But the life is really in everybody's third season, and particularly a marriage third season. It says, sow and reap, plant vineyards, and eat of their fruit. Sow and reap. You have to be purposeful. You know, you're planting vineyards, and you get to eat thereof from the vineyards, but it's an abundance far beyond you'll ever need to consume. It will provide for you, but really the vineyards, the sowing and reaping and doing it in the arena of vineyards, it's for others. It's that, you know, man, the fruit that we're producing is mostly for others. Yeah, we get to be blessed by it.
And the key to this third season is that you have to sow and reap. It's not optional. You must begin planting for your others beyond yourself. And many people do not realize that in their marriage, in their relationship with the Lord, in their job, whatever, they reach a point where they stalemate. They reach a point where they've, oh, we're doing pretty good here now. We've gleaned a lot. We know how to go out and kind of gather some things that we need. And they stalemate there. And then they sit there stagnant for years and years and years, and they miss the fullness of what God has for them. They miss the excitement of that being able to produce things in other people's lives because they go beyond themselves. And we just want to emphasize again, it's not optional. When you reach the third season, you must begin to do this for life to increase. How many people have you met that are just boringly dull? They're living dull lives. They're trying to fill it up with entertainment and recreation and all kinds of things, but they're just empty. They don't know what to do with their lives. They just kind of go from day to day looking for something new and more exciting because they aren't giving out. They're stagnated. They're just, all of the stuff they take in is just for themselves. People need to realize this third season, when you reach it, it's not optional. You have to begin to give out. You have to begin to take the fullness of what you have and invest it into other lives.
And it brings life to others and is just continuing to bring life to your marriage, to your family, and those around you.
What season are you in as a couple? You know, this first season doesn't necessarily have to be you're newly married. Maybe you've had some real problems and you're starting to receive some healing and you're moving on into a new direction. And maybe even through this course, you've discovered some things and some new things are happening in your life. That's wonderful. That makes you in a first season in that arena. So recognize, okay, maybe right now you're tender and you need people ministering to you and helping you as you begin to walk again together and get over some of the wounding and get healed. Recognize that that's a first season, or maybe you are newly married or whatever. Recognize if you're in that first season and enjoy it. It's a wonderful season to have others be there to help you. Reach out to people if you need help. Receive everything you can to strengthen your marriage. Now, are you in the second season? Maybe you've passed through that first season and in your marriage, you're starting to see that we're making some adjustments. We're understanding each other better. We're growing together.
We're being a little more purposeful.
That's right. We're actually doing things that help our marriage, that enhance what we're doing. Again, in other arenas, your job, wherever, all these things apply too. But right now we're talking about marriage. So if you're in the second season, recognize that and recognize what you need to do in that second season to have a vibrant marriage. But if you're in the third season.
So reap, plant vineyards, and that's what will bring life to you and a marriage. And it requires adjustments, and it requires a different focus to the world. It really, really does, and it's mandatory.
What season do you think you are in? Take a few minutes and discuss what that means to you and your marriage. Oneness Part 2.
So how do you determine what you're supposed to do? You say, okay, we're in the third season or whatever season you're in, especially we're going to focus right now on the third season. We're in the third season. We know we're supposed to be doing something. We know we're supposed to reach out. What does that mean? What you need to do is get together with the Lord and discover what He created you for. You know, when He created you, He put in you every single thing you need to fulfill your mission on this earth. Every gift, every talent, every spiritual gift, everything you need is in you right now and has been from when you were created. So what you need to do is discover how those flow together as a couple. First of all, you need to discover what they are. Sometimes people don't even know what they are. And we have a weekend seminar called You Two Are One. And in that seminar, we help couples discover, how did God create you? What personality did He give you? What gifts did He give you? What's your love language? How then, identifying each of yours, how to flow them together as a couple? Yeah. What dreams has He spoken to your heart? And you've maybe set them aside because, oh, we don't have time for that, or we can't do that, or that's impossible. Or let those dreams surface again. Let them resurrect and say, God, we're open. Yeah. What do you want us to do? Why did you put us here? Because, you know, we were put on this earth for His purposes, not for us. And so we're here to bless Him and to accomplish that mission. And before Jesus went home to the Father, just before His crucifixion, He said, Father, I have glorified Your name on this earth by completing the work You gave me to do. And when I saw that one day, I wrote it on a little card and I have it where I can read it all the time. That's the prayer of my heart, is when we go home, I want to be able to say, Father, we glorified Your name on this earth by doing what You called us to do, by completing the assignment. So in the third season, if you don't know yet what it is, begin to seek Him fervently to say, what is it that You want us to do as a couple? What have You created us to do? What do You desire to see flow through us? And dream big, dream big. Don't let limitations get in the way, because God doesn't let them get in the way. He knew what your life was going to be like, and he still said, this is what I want you to do. So dream big with God, and don't worry about how you're going to get there, because once you're willing to go there, God will move you where he needs you to be.
Often you're going to churches that really are ministering to a variety of people in all seasons. And most focus in most Christian churches, most churches, is that first and second season Christian. You're probably feeling, boy, he doesn't preach as vibrantly or as alive, you know, and to me, as he used to. But that's because you're in a third season part of life, and you need to be the one, you know, digging into the word and giving out and, you know, being the shining light on the hill. Most people go to church, you know, to praise the Lord for that, and, you know, listen to the pastor, feed him. You know, if all we do is go and, okay, feed me more, feed me more, feed me more. No, you need to sow and reap, plant vineyards, you know, and eat thereof. And it needs to be the outreach. You know, you're in a third season. I'm sorry, your pastor, your church is not going to bless you, feed you the way he did in the first and second seasons. So we see a lot of disgruntled Christians, and that's because they need to be prominently and fastidiously giving out from the life that they have and they're working in their marriage and family.
If you are not sowing and reaping spiritually in the third season, you will miss the fullness of what God has for you.
The Holy Spirit is speaking in this hour about spheres of influence. And many of you may have heard, they're called many times the seven mountains or the seven pillars,
or
the
seven spheres.
Spheres of influence, whatever, seven spheres. And really, they're the basic components of society. The seven mountains are family, business, religion, government, education, media, and arts and entertainment. Well, what's happened through the years is that because the church has been very self-focused and ministry or serving the Lord meant doing something in the church, these mountains have been taken over by ungodly ideas and principles and concepts. And now in this hour, we're fighting to maintain the spirit of the Lord, the principles of God in each of these mountains, because the secular world is crowding into each one of these areas. And so we're beginning to see that the Holy Spirit in this hour is saying to serve God in this time, to be effective, we need to begin to invade the culture with the principles of the kingdom, just like Jesus did. Have you ever thought about that when it says Jesus preached the principles of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom, not the principles. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Many times we think about the gospel as, well, the death and resurrection of Jesus and salvation, and he hadn't died yet. What was he preaching? He was preaching the kingdom. And the principles of the kingdom were alive and well long before his death. And so we need to take these principles of the kingdom and take them into the workplace, take them into the school system, take them into the government, take them into the family. Obviously, that's our
heart. That's into our mountain.
Arts and entertainment, into the media. I mean, all these areas need to be invaded with the principles of God. Somewhere you have a sphere of influence that God has already given to you. He's already placed you somewhere in one of these seven mountains, and he's given you a voice in those mountains. And that's what God is speaking in this hour, is that we need to take these godly principles of the kingdom into the world, because if we continue to isolate ourselves from the world, the enemy's taken over these mountains. He's taken his principles, his thinking, his influence into these areas. And we're starting to see Christians do amazing things, like in the workplace. They're starting to have meetings and they're teaching these godly principles. What they're saying is, if you live by these principles, your life is going to change. Your business is going to change. And people start implementing these godly principles and they start to see, whoa, something happens. What is this all about? And more people want to hear about it. And we begin then, as these doors open and people are hungry, then we can begin to share deeper into the things of God. But these scriptural principles initially, these kingdom principles, open doors and bring a great sphere of influence into these areas. We're seeing in schools now where they're beginning to welcome groups to come in. We've got school shootings and we've got all kinds of things going on, and where groups can come in and begin to share with the students about godly kingdom principles of life and begin to see a change in the lives of students. And they're starting to see such a transformation that other school systems are now calling them and saying, can you come and do this for our school? Because the crime rate is down in this school, the amount of violence is down in this school,
abuse.
We want to see that in our school. So these kingdom principles change lives. And somewhere God has made a way, he has made a place for you to begin to flow the gifts that he's put in you to influence. Now, if you don't know where to start, your neighborhood's a great place. Share with your neighbors. You see a neighbor in trouble. You see this happening there or that happening there. You can bring the will of God into that situation and bless people, not by preaching at them, not by telling them how they're supposed to live and what they're doing wrong, but by simply coming in the love of Jesus Christ and saying, "This, if you implement these principles in your life, you're going to see success. You're going to see change." And that's these spheres of influence that we need to now begin to move out into. And God has a mountain for you. He has a mountain of influence for you, a sphere of influence that he wants you to invade with kingdom principles.
You need to discover your God-given sphere of influence.
We've been in ministry 35 years. And, you know, we started with this 12-week course 35 years ago. We made a mistake. And our mistake was, you know, when we came to this lesson 12, we said two things. Number one, yes, you need to be a shining light wherever you're called. And we really didn't have language back then about the seven mountains. And then we were, in one sense, very narrowly focused. And so we said, for those of you who have a heart for marriage, we will pour more into you so that you can give out. So we created a wonderful discipleship program that just helped couples work on their marriage, work on their family, and then give out. But we sort of left the 95% or 90% that, you know, were really called to go to other mountains. And what we're burdened for now is to say, all marriages have a purpose, have a call, have a reach, an impact. And we're saying, hey, how can we help you as a couple, you know, reach out to wherever you are? Well, we've got some wonderful equipping and discipling tools, and we, this lesson and the previous lessons that you had in the Married for Life course as you've gone through it this past season is equipping you to go out. And there's some more, you know, training and equipping. If you're not called to the family mountain, if we could help you touch the entertainment mountain or touch the education mountain or touch the church mountain or whatever, man, we'll equip you as a couple to be able to do that. We'll plant and feed you, but you've got to give it out. Well, if we could get, you know, that happening in all the seven mountains, man, you know, we're going to help transform. But we're transforming you as a marriage, first, a family, second, and then whatever your mountain is, whoever you're called to influence and impact, you know, do it.
Now, we're a little bit prejudiced because we think the family mountain is the basis for all of them. The family mountain affects every other mountain because everybody comes out of a family. And so how we grow up in our family of origin, yeah, how we are relating in our marriage, how we're raising our children, all of those things are going to affect every other mountain because the family is the center, we believe. And a lot of people would argue that, but that's our belief, is the family is where it all emanates from. But the other mountains all affect the family. Because the education mountain has a great impact on the family. What's happening in the government, the laws that are being made, have a great effect on the family. Mm-hmm. The entertainment, what movies and music are being produced, have a great effect on the family. So the family, at this point, as we see it, is being more influenced by the other mountains than the family is influencing the other mountains. So,
and we're seeing family life in America, where we live, disintegrating rapidly. So therefore, we're trying to reverse that and say,
right,
hey, the family mountain's critical. So we're talking to you, you know, first as a marriage, you know, hey, we're going to help you become all you're called to be as a marriage. And then you're to impact the family. Then you're called of God to impact whatever mountain you're touchy.
And look at the education system. It would not be in the situation it's in today, and kids would not be being taught what they're being taught if families had been strong. And the minute that this started to influence their children, parents were at school going, wait a minute, you're not teaching our kids this. We don't believe this. But families today are so busy and so fragmented, and there's all the social media, and so many things are happening in the family that all these have avenues of invading, and it's hard to stay on top of it anymore. So we see as the family begins to be strengthened, parents are going to have greater voices in these other areas, and they're going to be raising a family that also is going to have greater influence. I mean, remember when we were kids back in the old days,
real old days,
everybody was a parent. I don't know if you remember that or not, but you were responsible to every adult in your life. You couldn't get away with anything. You know, you do something in the neighborhood and the people find out about it, they're telling your folks and you're in trouble. I mean, there's no place to hide. All the neighbors were parents. Everybody was involved because family was so strong and everybody was like part of that system and everybody enforced it. And nowadays we're isolated into, you can't speak into this. This is my family. Don't talk to my kids. You know, we've become isolated, not in this community kind of family. And so we've missed a lot of what used to be a strength for the family, a support system for the family has now broken down. And we've had how many generations now of divorce that have left children without fathers. And we know statistically that fatherless children have more problems in school, have more problems with crime. I mean, it's just, it adds and adds and adds. So the family has really been struck a blow by the enemy because he knows that the family is the core. And if he can disintegrate the family, he can get the other mountains much more easily. So our heart's desire until we go home to be with Jesus is to strengthen that family mountain, to reclaim it for the Lord, and to make families strong again and healthy so that they can then begin to go out and do what they need to do in the other mountains.
You know, and we live in the United States. You know, some of you live in other countries around the world. Our country is not gonna be blessed or prosper unless the families, and at the core of the family is the marriage, is being blessed and is a blessing.
We believe that strong families make a strong nation.
Strong families make a strong church. And one of the things that we're trying to do is heighten the awareness, particularly of the religious mountain, you know, that, hey, you need to really take into consideration that a vital part of your mountain, the religious mountain, the church mountain, is the families.
When God puts a mountain on your heart, everything in you wants to reclaim that mountain for his glory, that he would be glorified in all these areas of society. So right now, because we're the family mountain and that's our heart, we're sharing with you about strengthening the family. But as it's strengthened, we want to see all these other mountains equally strengthened, equally brought back to the glory of God.
Do you know what mountain or mountains God has called you to? Share with each other what is in your heart. Oneness Part 3.
10 sessions ago, when we taught Lesson 2, we said this is the place where the gospel gets worked out in you as individuals through you as a dynamic couple working it out between you. You are iron sharpening iron to each other and helping you grow and mature in your witness to the world, your character to the world, and the life that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to live. And there's nothing more challenging but more fruitful than it working out through here.
That's right.
This 24-hour relationship, rather than the 5 or 10 or 15 minute relationships. You know, people say, man, I'm Christ-like, you know, because I have all kinds of people who see me as Christ-like and I interact with them and I only fail at home. But I feel real good because, you know, 98% of all my relationships are darn good. And I'm only failing at home. Man, when you fail at home, you fail for, of course, your marriage, your family, in your nation. Man, we just want to rise up marriages and families in this nation, in your nation, so that the life of Christ can be broadly proclaimed to the uttermost ends of the earth.
Our first sphere of influence is our home and family.
So now that we've encouraged you, we want to give you a reality check. that this is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in fighting the enemy, because he hates it. And he does not want you to succeed, and he does not want you to become influential in any sphere. And so he's going to hit you with everything he has to divide you. And you need to be smart enough and catch him fast enough to realize, aha, look who's at work again. Look who's bringing division here. Look who's trying to separate us. Look who's trying to prevent the call of God on our life from happening. You've got to get a bigger vision than just the two of you. Because sometimes when things are tough in a marriage, it's like, is it really worth it to work through all of this? And if all you're doing is looking at the two of you, you may decide it's not. But I'll tell you, if you've got a bigger vision, if you know that God's heart is burning to see you fulfill what he created you to do, it pushes you past those little moments. It pushes you past those tough times. It pushes you past that, is it really worth it? When you see millions waiting for what God wants to do, you say, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it not only for us, but it's worth it for our children. It's worth it for our grandchildren. It's worth it for all who will come after us. It's worth it for our neighborhood. It's worth it for our school system. It's worth it for our government. Amen. It's worth it for our nation. Amen. It's worth it for wherever God is going to send you. It's worth it. So be astute and recognize the enemy when he comes to divide you, and raise up in your vision of why you're doing what you're doing, and why you're letting God work in your life, and why you're understanding more and more about what it means to be married, because it's not just for your marriage. You know, when our marriage was in trouble, all I wanted was for our marriage to be healed. I just wanted the strife and all the stuff to end and for us to have a good marriage. But God, during all that time, had so much more. He had all this in mind. He had millions and millions and millions of couples who were waiting to hear his word, waiting to hear there was hope. He had them all in his heart then, and I didn't know anything about them. All I knew was us, and I just wanted to see something happen here. And you have no idea who's waiting for what God has put in you. You have no idea what he wants to do through your marriage. You have no idea who he wants to touch. So it's not just about you. It's about God's heart for those that he's brought you here to reach. So we encourage you today, it's worth what it takes to get there. Amen. Hang in there. Don't let the enemy separate you. Don't let him take away the dream and the vision. Don't let him take away the spark that God's put in your heart. Press through, and God will show you where to begin, what to do, where to go. If you need help, we're here. There's others in with the ministry that are nearby you that will be glad to reach out to you too. We'll walk with you because we want to see you fulfill that call of God on your life to the greatest degree possible.
You know what I'd like to do? Let's pray for each of these couples that are hearing this right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these faithful couples who have said, we want more, and have gone through this entire course, these last 12 lessons. We pray that you have got it. We proclaim that you are, as a couple, you are one.
Yes.
And the power that you flow in because you are one in Christ is going to be magnificent. You're going to impact people, starting with your own family and extended family and extended relationships. You are going to be impactful on the world far beyond you'll ever know.
And Father, we pray right now that you would ignite in each heart, for each one that's listening to us, your dream, your vision.
Amen.
Your call, what you've called them to do, designed them to do, created them to do. Let it be like a little pilot light that ignites and begins to warm and glow and grow and grow within them. That vision comes forth, that everything that's ever happened in their life from childhood on that said they couldn't do it just begins to melt away because you're saying they can do it. And you've created them to do it, and you're 100% behind them. And all of heaven is longing to see that mission fulfilled. And so we pray now, as you listen to this, as you hear the voice of God, that you would lay hold of what he's given you and not let go. Hang on to it. Hang on to it for the whole ride, and let him begin to expand it within you and begin to show you how to fulfill that, because it's not an impossible dream. It is exactly what he wants you to do and what he has desired for you to do from the time he created you.
And you are witnesses of His life, yes, His love, His character, His Spirit to the whole world.
Amen.
You are. And we do say, amen.
Amen. Go love take you. A mountain.
Dear Father, thank you so much for all you have given to us through this course. Revelations, growth, healings, and so many precious gifts for our oneness. Now, Lord, please guide us and show us how to give.
Please bless the work of our hands that will bring you glory. Equip us and let us experience the full life that comes from serving. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information or to contact someone local, go to our website at www.2equal1.com. This was your final lesson. Bless you and thank you for listening.